A Goalkeeping Legend cycles in for this episode as we discuss the men between the sticks, Haaland's potential return, and why we're all saying, Wilf's in. Well, hello everyone, the FPL pod back with you. Kelly Summers joined by, as always, FPL family's Sam Bonfield. Morning, Sam.
Good morning, Kelly.
And Julien Laurent. Bonjour, Jules.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, everyone.
Right, okay. Today again, let's just cut to the chase because it will become obvious why I'm excited, but I'm not the only one. Our guest today, Sam, how much have we wanted this particular former England, Manchester United, and of course, Watford goalkeeper on?
I mean, like literally forever, Kelly. I think this was when we were talking back in the summer about who we wanted on the podcast. This was like the number one guest that we wanted. He was the must-have guest for us, wasn't he, this season?
His head's going to get a bit big if we keep on with this. So let's welcome, it is of course the Premier League legend and now the podcast and YouTube legend, the cycling GK himself, Ben Foster. Ben, my greatest FPL achievement this season is getting you on here, I think.
You lot talk rubbish. Honestly, you must say this for every guest.
No, we don't.
You say it for every guest. No chance I'm not having it. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, honestly. We got there eventually. It's been a busy schedule, but and you lot are booked up anyway. Like, you've always got loads of guests booked up, but we got there anyway. We got there.
We did. We are really excited to have you on. Now, maybe when most players retire, life chills out a bit, but it seems like you are one of the busiest men in football media now. I want to know how life is for you post-playing and how on earth you're fitting in FPL.
FPL is still at the forefront of everything, Kelly. Honestly, it is. It's the beauty of what we do now is what I do now is I don't get to play the game anymore, but the next best thing is just talking about the game and just chatting rubbish. Honestly, like, we've got a lovely team here. We've got a lovely team of there's five or six of us, and FPL, when we get to like a Thursday, Friday, FPL just takes over. It's the talk of the office. It's like, who are you going to drop? Who are you going to do this time? We've got our own little mini league. Proud to say that I'm at the top of it at this moment in time. It's been a good season for me so far. It has. It's been a really good season.
When did you start playing FPL? Because we hear of some players playing it, but we're always intrigued when they do and kind of how it comes about. And if it is played that much in football dressing rooms.
It's played like you would not believe in football dressing rooms. I started playing, how long has the game been going for? How long has the game been going for in total? Do you know?
Sam, please tell me you know that.
It's got to be 10 years easy.
It's at least 13 years, I think. Yeah. Let me double check.
I honestly think maybe from a year or two in, I'd say, since its inception. That's when I started playing.
It's the 2002-2003 season it started.
Where were you playing then, Ben?
Wow,
2002 or three. Wow.
I don't even think I'd started playing football then. I think I was.
I would have been 12 then.
I don't think I had signed for Man United then. I think that was before then. I was at Stoke or something still. Wow, that is early, isn't it? Like, mobile phones weren't even a thing back then, really, were they?
No, that's true.
Yeah,
Ben, do you approach the game a bit differently now that you're not playing anymore? Or is it exactly the same way for you than when you were playing? Or is there any differences?
There is differences, Julien, because when you're playing, in the Premier League, the weird thing is, right, as a goalie, take this season, for example, if I've got Haaland as my striker, who I'm captaining every week for sure, like everybody does, and then we're playing against Man City, I can't play Haaland. If I'm playing in the Premier League, I can't play him up front. I can't captain him. So I have to take Man City players out of my team just in case somebody sees my team and they'll say, that's Ben Foster. He's got three Man City players. He's got Haaland. He's got De Bruyne. And Haaland goes scores a hat-trick or something like that. It's trouble. It is. Yeah. It's genuine trouble. Yeah. So you've got to be careful when you're actually playing. There's that famous Aston Villa story from a few years back, wasn't it, where Jack Grealish got injured and then all the Villa players took him out of their team on like the Friday or something. So everybody knew that Jack Grealish was injured. So yeah, you do. There's so many pitfalls of being a Premier League player and then playing FPL at the same time.
Did you always pick yourself as well? Obviously, you've talked about there, if you're playing a certain team that you're captaining, you did have to be mindful. But did you always have yourself in your squad?
Yes, I did, Kelly. Yeah, always.
Yes,
excellent value, weren't you? You were such good value.
Yeah, you were great for me as well.
Last year, I think I was the most selected goalkeeper last year because obviously with the cycling.
Yes,
yeah,
me too.
Everybody did it. So I was £4 million. I was like the cycling GK. Everybody wanted me in there anyway. But I have had years where I've kind of thought, do I need the extra pressure? Do I need the extra pressure of not having to also worry about actually doing my day job on a Saturday afternoon, but also worrying about my FPL team. And it's like they carry the same amount of pressure. They really do.
I used to like watching it on your YouTube channel because you would often show us, wouldn't you,
yeah.
your selections, what you were doing. And you often did it on the morning. It kind of became part of your morning routine, wasn't it?
Yeah, morning routine. So because I'm guilty, probably like everybody else, of forgetting to do your team sometimes. And it's the worst feeling in the world when somebody says, oh, you're doing your FPL team yet? And you go, oh, no. And you know the deadline's gone, or there's been a sneaky Friday night game or something like that. That's what absolutely kills you. So I tried to I used to just set an alarm basically for like 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning.
That's what I do.
Exactly that.
There I'm you not go. The only loser. Thanks, yeah, Ben.
There's nothing wrong with it, Kelly, honestly. Set your alarm for 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and then, you know, boom, you can get your team all sorted like that. And not only that, you need to leave it to like the Saturday morning anyway, because just in case there's any last minute injuries or like little words coming out of the football clubs that a player might be injured and he might not be starting, all that kind of stuff.
Ben, I know you said that it was difficult when you were playing against opposition to have those players in your team, but was there also a bit of a pressure from your teammates to include them in your team? Like, were there players that were like, why have you not got me?
No, not really, to be fair. They weren't. Everybody, like, probably everybody's all the same. If there's a good value player, whether he plays for us or not, if there's a good sort of differential value player, then I'd have him. Like, so over the years, Craig Dawson, for example, when I was at West Brom or even when he signed for Watford, I would always have Craig Dawson because he would have always been a £4.5 million defender. And I know that he's going to score goals. And West Brom, we used to actually keep quite a lot of clean sheets. I can't say that for Watford so much, but definitely at West Brom, we would keep clean sheets and he would score.
Before we go further on the show, if you can hear the chemistry between Ben and I, it's normal because we've been friends for a very long time. We actually, you know, went on holidays together. Not that Ben remembers, but
Ben's face is a picture.
I can't remember Julia. Which summer it was, but there's this place.
Where did we
go?
Where was it?
So we were at the Grove, which is a place that maybe some people know, Kelly and Sam, I'm sure you know. And we go often with my family, with my wife and the kids there for 3-4 days. And that summer, Ben, you were there with your family. I think you might have just signed for Watford maybe, and you were staying there while you find a house or something. But anyway, your oldest is the same age, I think, as my oldest. So Louis and my Rafa played together football. We ended up playing. I'm obviously very good at football. So so is Ben. So it was really good fun. But I think you might have gone in goal maybe. They had those little goals and we're playing 3v3, 4v4. And my son maybe scored one and he keeps saying to this day that he scored a goal to, you know, Ben Foster.
Julian, there's plenty of people that can say that, mate. It's not a big thing, seriously. You shouldn't be too proud of that one. I do remember it now, actually. When you said on holiday, I'm thinking, I definitely haven't seen you on holiday anyway. But what they do at the Grove is they get like that, they get like a sandy beach thing, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
And an outside pool. Yeah. And I remember it, playing in the little goals. But the problem with those little goals is, the only way you can score is just wellying it as hard as you can. So like it's just prime for a finger break or something. So I would have definitely just go on them, rapid, just score, geez, just score.
It was
fine.
Exactly that. But yeah, we had a great time. It was great.
Okay, let's talk through your season now then, because I took a look at your team and Sam and Jules, I don't know if you've looked at Ben's team, but we should be paying a lot of attention because he's doing better than all of us.
Yeah.
71 points last week. Yeah, you're the real expert around here, Ben. I think you're about 134,000 in the world. What's gone right for you this season?
I won't lie. I am 134,000.
I do my homework, lie. Ben. I do my homework.
I've been a bit lucky, Kelly. I've been a bit lucky. So I feel like I've got a really solid base team anyway. So apart from the sub goalie on the bench, everybody can play. Everybody in my team can play, with the exception of maybe Malacia for Man United. But he did start early doors. Mm. But I have been fairly lucky where the players that haven't necessarily started or done very well, I've made a last minute switch and put somebody else in. Like, I haven't made many substitutions this year either. So every other season, I've just got fully in my own head and just made 2 or 3 substitutions every single game week. And I'm thinking, yeah, but I'll get the points back, and you never end up doing it. So I think just planning a couple weeks in advance, looking at fixtures, maybe 2-3 weeks in advance. I don't know about you guys. I watch a lot of YouTube sort of FPL tip videos and stuff like that. And they're the guys telling you to plan ahead, basically. Think 2-3 weeks in advance, maybe a month in advance. So I've been trying to do that as well. But I have had a couple game weeks where I haven't changed my team. Like I forgot the deadline. And then the deadline passes and I'm thinking, oh no, if only I'd have done that. but it's worked out for me. Honestly, it's just worked out for me so, so well. My son had an absolute stinker a few weeks ago. So my son was flying on it. I mean, absolutely flying. He was about 40 points ahead of me, and he used his wild card, and he forgot to click the wild card button and made all the substitutions.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. So every single substitution cost him 4 points, which is what, the best part of like 60, 70 odd points sort of thing. So 70 point deduction. So when the game week finished, he looked at his team and he was like, "Dad, why? What's happened?" And I'm going, "Oh, mate, absolutely gutted for him. But I overtook him, so unlucky, mate.
I was going to say, I interviewed you last season about FPL, and one of the first things you mentioned was your head-to-head with your son. And I'm sure you're a very loving dad, but not when it comes to FPL.
No, if it's a game and it's all fair, then you know, if I'm winning. So to be fair to him, he's very good at it. I don't know whether it's luck or it's skill or what, but he's clawed it back. So he's now only about sort of 25 points behind me. So he took a massive hit, but he's proper clawed it back already. Fair dues.
Sam Jules, I think we might potentially also being beaten by Ben's son, who's also taken a minus 70 or something this season, which maybe says all we need to know about our seasons. Let's talk about your game weeks, you two, last week. How did things go, Sam?
Let's not talk about it, Kelly. It was literally an unmitigated disaster. Do you know, it's one of those things, isn't it, where a couple of weeks ago, if you remember, when we were playing our wild card, I sat here with you, Kelly, and we talked about this midfield five that we were going to have, how brilliant they were all going to be. Since then, Foden's not started a game. It's like, Pep, what are you doing to me? Come on. And, you know, then Saka, honestly, Jules, so I'm watching the Arsenal game at the weekend and I'm like, right, three attacking Arsenal players against Nottingham Forest. The points are going to roll in. Saka gets his assist early. I'm like, yes. 2 minutes later, he's got injured and he's gone off. And I was like, are you actually joking?
No,
like,
you.
This could have been the week. I think for me, that kind of summed up my season, that Saka thing. Because had he stayed on the pitch, you know, when Reece Nelson comes on, he absolutely smashed it, didn't he, in the position that Saka would have been in. And I was like, that would have, for me, probably been a deal breaker for my season. And of course, this is the second time this season I've captained Harry Kane, my beloved Harry Kane. And what does he do to me? He blanks again. So come on, Harry, I really need you.
By the way, did you see that two people triple captained Reece Nelson last week? Two people.
Who are these two people? Please make yourself known to this podcast, because you can come and take over as host.
Reece himself is trying to find them to send them a shirt or something.
No, Reece is probably one of them. Reece is one of them. He just needs to find one
and
more.
His dad.
Yeah, that's it.
Jules, what about you? I'm guessing you weren't the other person that had Reece Nelson in their team.
No, he probably did. Although I had Callum Wilson, who we discussed last week on the show.
Did you captain him, Jules?
I did. And then obviously I slept on it, dreamt of Harry Kane. Being great.
So
I swapped to Harry. Swapped again, by the way.
You can't say yes again. And then say no. It doesn't work like that.
I swapped again around 10 a.m. maybe on Saturday, and then changed again to
Jules.
Harry Kane, thinking, like, come on, Bournemouth. I was livid. Absolutely. Literally for an hour.
Oh, man.
An hour and a half, Callum was the captain. And then I said, you know. And Ben, I think too much about my captaincy, and I did it before when Haaland had an amazing week and I didn't captain him because I tried to be too clever. So yeah, 69 points, which is great.
You need to have a word with Harry.
I know.
Jules, you need to have a word with Harry because he's letting us down every time.
I'm at the game on Sunday, so I will definitely see him
before, I'm there too.
And after. Yeah.
I'll give him a shout.
But yeah, apart from that, still I can't complain. 69 is good, and Callum Wilson with 19 points could have been even more because he hit the woodwork, and all of that was a really, really return for the transfer that we talked about last week.
Pains me to say it a bit, but you've had an okay few weeks, haven't you?
Yeah, I've beaten you every time, you can say.
Don't encourage him, Kelly.
I've had a disaster. Ever since I played my wild card, I went from about 200,000 to 400,000 in the world. So.
Me too.
What totals are you on, guys? What is your total score so far?
Now he knows he's ahead of us, he wants
something.
To know.
I'm on 1,200 and something, I can't remember exactly.
Here he goes again.
1,200?
No, he's winding you up, Ben.
I can't believe you still believe me at the beginning.
I'm on 816.
Oh, Kelly, you're not far behind.
What are you on?
838.
I was only 22 points. That shows how tight it is at the top of the standings, because you're what, like 100? My math is really bad. You're two.
A couple hundred thousand ahead of you, basically. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
I couldn't work it out, sorry. Sam, how many points are you on?
Oh, don't. I'm on 777, which seems like a ridiculous number, doesn't it, really?
You're not out of touch yet. It's fine.
It's one of those
Ben's
things,
enjoying
though,
this.
Ben. Do you know what, Ben? It's one of those things where, like, honestly, the last game week, it wasn't even that bad. Like, I had some players in there that did well. Yeah, and I had Jesus, I had Martinelli, and I had Saka, who all returned. Like, had some decent players in there. I also had Kepa, who got naught, which was frustrating. Mm. But those, like, minor things that go wrong, like not having a captain that returns, that kills you, because that cost me, I mean, last game week, that cost me about 300,000 places, just having a captaincy blank. So everything is still really congested and really tight. And I think it's going to be like that even when we come back after the World Cup. So I'm not panicking yet. I think there's still plenty of moments where we can make things improve. And, you know, it only takes one or two differential picks. And maybe these next 2 weeks are the times where I need to just go a little bit rogue, pick out a couple of differentials, like with you with Callum Wilson last week, George, right? He was so lonely owned when you had him last week. Having somebody like that bangs 19 points for you, that's going to shoot you up the overall ranks massively.
Ben, a couple of weeks ago, I was at Hendu for the deadline. So set an alarm at 10 a.m., did my wild card, was really happy with it. Forgot to change my captain for some reason it was on Salah. And it was the week where Haaland scored two, and I fell 200,000 places from that as well. And it was only when I posted it on social media that someone said to me, "Why didn't you captain Haaland?" I was like, "Oh no, I didn't."
Oh no!
And then
no,
your heart sinks. No, so it's a weekend ruiner, isn't it? Like,
it's no worse feeling.
So that wild card, I blame the wild card for everything that's gone wrong.
Sam, can I just jump in on what you said there, because you went, you know what you sat, this is incredible, I love this, you were trying to back yourself up and go, it's fine though, because I just need to go rogue a little bit, and you know, if I can hit a good few good differential, that is the sound of a desperation, Sam, right?
He's trying you really
now. I'm going to feel trolled by Ben Foster. God,
this is pure gold.
Once you know, you've got to go rogue. Said, honestly.
You know when I said at the beginning of this pod that we really wanted Ben Foster on, I'm massively regretting that decision now.
I'm trolling you.
Should we boot him off? Definitely not. I'm enjoying this way too much. Let's look ahead a little bit now, guys. Let's try and give the listeners a few tips, because sounds like we need them from Ben, doesn't it? Let's start with goalkeepers, because that feels like the obvious place to start, having the cycling GK on here. Firstly, Ben, what's your strategy when it comes to picking your keepers in your team?
On day one, when I'm picking my team to start with, okay, what I like to do is I'll always try and go sort of the big boys, try and get the big strikers in, the big midfielders who might be taking penalties, all that kind of stuff. It sounds bad, but goalkeeper is always, it's not a last resort for me, but it's something where I will try and pick one goalkeeper who I know is going to play week in, week out and likely to keep quite a few clean sheets. So I went with Alisson this season. So, and you know what? He's absolutely returned for me as well. So a few weeks back, when I was talking earlier about getting lucky with a few game weeks, I had Alisson in goal for the Man City game, where everybody was expecting Liverpool to lose. They end up winning 1-0. Make save after save, like loads of clean sheet points, all that kind of stuff. And then the week after, played against West Ham, saved the penalty, clean sheet, so many points. I think he got something like 15 and 14 in 2 weeks or something like that, one after the other. So I have got a little bit lucky with in terms of things like that. But yeah, I just like to pick one goalkeeper who I know will keep a lot of clean sheets. But they're going to be expensive. I want a top six goalie. I just thought Alisson this season is going to keep some clean sheets. Liverpool haven't been fantastic defensively, but he's bought some points in for me, to be fair.
Yeah, he has, hasn't he, actually? Because he's probably had a few more save points than potentially in previous seasons as well. Sam, we went for Kepa on our wild card. You've already mentioned the frustrations with him. Injury last game week, didn't play in the Champions League. He felt like he was the perfect cheap option, a cheap, rare way of having a Chelsea goalkeeper. What do managers, and what are you going to do with him now?
Oh, it's really frustrating, isn't it? Because I was kind of really excited to bring in Kepa because he was offering great value for money, was playing really well, seemed to have solidified that position in the starting 11 for Chelsea. And I was starting to think that, you know, under Potter, Chelsea might just be making some moves. And then it's kind of fallen apart a little bit. But I feel okay with it because I've got Danny Ward as my second goalkeeper. So I'm probably just going to let Danny Ward play for the next couple of weeks. He's got two nice fixtures where I can see some points coming from him. He's obviously got Everton in 15 and then they've got West Ham in game week 16. Now, the West Ham game is tough. You never really know what West Ham team you're going to get at the moment, though. And Danny Ward does pick up some save points. So I'm kind of all right with having him. But if, like Ben, you've got Iverson, but you've also got Kepa and you've got an injury, then I think you've got to make a change, really. maybe it's time to go back to our old faithful in Sanchez at Brighton, because they sit nice and pretty at the top of the defensive fixture ticker in the next 2 weeks with Wolves and then Aston Villa, who just aren't scoring any goals. And in seasons gone by, Sanchez has been my go-to, along with Ben. They were the two that I'd have rotating together nicely, because the fixtures were always worked that way with Brighton and with Watford last season. So I think it might be the time for going back to Sanchez, but I also still really like Pickford, who was my differential goalkeeper last week. So I think one of those two would be the way that I would lean if I was picking a new goalkeeper now.
Jules, your goalkeeper of choice and has been for the past season or so is Ben's mate, Aaron Ramsdale, isn't it?
Yeah, he's my bro. I have to play him, really. I can't, otherwise it turned me off. So, maybe I thought that Arsenal would be a little bit more solid in recent weeks, I have to say. But still, not conceding against Forest, which I was expecting. It's a big game against Chelsea at the weekend, of course, away. But I still back him up to be good for us. So,
Ben, in terms of other goalkeepers that have impressed you this year, which ones have you looked at and thought they're having good seasons? Or if maybe you were making a goalkeeper change, who's impressed you?
I always look at the English goalies. I've got a soft spot for the English goalies. So Jordan Pickford and Nick Pope has been flying this season as well. Nick Pope, I absolutely love him. I think Newcastle in general have just been absolutely brilliant. Like this year, Miggy Almiron, Kieran Trippier, just unsung heroes of most people's FPL teams. I like Aaron Ramsdale. People like that. People you know are going to be £4.5 million, £5 million. Be quite busy, but keep clean sheets. I think Newcastle are the way to go this year with defensive options.
Yeah, I noticed you've got Kieran Trippier and you've got Miguel Almiron. How long have you had Almiron?
Miggy. Oh, I put Miggy in about, five weeks ago, maybe?
Oh, so you've really benefited from those goals.
Yeah. I got quite lucky. Like I say, I wouldn't call them lucky decisions. I'd call them kind of sort of calculated, but they're coming in for me. So Kieran Trippier, whether he's not, even if Newcastle don't keep a clean sheet, he's getting assist bonuses. He gets up there, he gets balls into the box, set pieces, all that kind of stuff. He's an absolute, you've got to have him in. Him along Cancelo for Man City, you've got to have them in there because they're just so attacking. You need them in your team. Miggy Almiron, though, he is my unsung hero. I need to try and find a way of getting Callum Wilson in, though. And Jesus is killing me a little bit, to be honest with you. Jesus is a massive problem for me at the minute. I think it's, five or six games now he hasn't scored in. And it's a genuine worry. It's a genuine concern. Newcastle are flying. Callum Wilson's flying. Confidence is high. And he looks like he's going to score every single game. Newcastle look like they're going to win every single game. So I'm getting to the point where, I might have to sacrifice Gabby Jesus and get Callum Wilson in there.
He did get you two assists last week, though, against Forest. 9 points, not bad.
He did get two assists, but I don't know. There's something about him. It's like he's gone off the boil of scoring goals. And I need guaranteed goals from him. Haaland, is he going to play on Saturday? I think he probably will because he didn't play in the Champions League last night. Talking about Kepa, I think he might be one of the most transferred out goalkeepers this week as well, because apparently he turned up to the Champions League game midweek on crutches. So he is definitely going to be out for a little while.
Wow, lots of info to take in there. And some inside info from one goalkeeper to another there. So Kepa, potentially, if you do have him, might be time to get rid. You've alluded to a few forwards there, Ben. So let's discuss that. We spoke about them at length last week on the pod. Jules, you told us last week Erling Haaland wasn't going to start, wasn't going to be in the squad. Mystic Jules was correct. What do you think for this week? Ben's just said there he thinks he might be all right.
Yeah, I think it might be as well. I think Guardiola there was no point playing him anyway against Sevilla in a game that had nothing at stake for City, really, apart from being at home. So Haaland was in the stand. We saw him with that. I mean, if you like his fashion sense, with that big jacket that he had on, or maybe you didn't. But he will be there against, I think, against Fulham. Maybe not then play in the League Cup game in midweek next week, maybe, although it's a big one against Chelsea, of course. And then you finish off before the break for the World Cup with Haaland playing as well. So, I would expect him to maybe not start against Fulham, although he could, but certainly come on at some point.
So, I can't work out so you think he will feature?
He will feature for sure. It's just I'm not so sure if Pep takes the risk of starting him and giving him an hour, for example. I don't think he can last more than an hour, or you bring him on for 45, 30, 35 minutes.
Okay, so from an FPL point of view, Sam, we start him, correct?
I mean, I'm going to be starting him, yeah, because I think it's one of those things, isn't it, that I'd far rather, I said this on the pod last week, I'd far rather have Haaland in my starting 11 and have him get auto-subbed out if he doesn't play than have him on my bench and then see him in the starting 11 or see Pep bring him on. Because look, if Pep brings him on for 45 minutes in the second half, I'm going to be hiding behind the sofa if I've not played Haaland. I'd rather have him on the pitch for 45 minutes than I would a lot of the other forwards in the game for the full 90. So, yeah, I think the bigger question with Haaland is what you do with captain's armband. Do we trust him with it if we're not sure he's going to get 90 minutes or do we give it to somebody else? I think you probably give it to him because if he's going to get any minutes at all, I think you want it with Haaland for that game. He's got the nicest fixture by far. But yeah, I think for me, I'm just going to start Haaland and hope that I see him in the starting 11.
I'm guessing from the facial expressions that Ben was making during that and the oohs and the ahs, you're going to be starting him and captaining him.
Do you know what it is? This season is a bit different to other sort of fancy Premier League seasons. I can imagine Haaland is sort of, it's similar to, do you remember like La Liga years where you had Ronaldo and Messi every week would just be scoring hat-tricks? And imagine doing a FPL, but with La Liga. You would have to have Messi and Ronaldo in your team every week. And it would just be a toss-up of who you're captaining each week. Do you know what I mean? And it's you got the one that scored the hat-trick or the two goals. It must be a nightmare, that. But I feel like this season is the same sort of thing. Like, everybody has got Haaland and everybody captains him. So do you try and go rogue and like choose somebody else just in case he draws a blank week, but then he'll probably score a hat-trick and you'll end up falling way behind? Or do you just go with the herd and just captain him every single week like everybody else does? It's a tough one, but I know for a fact that I will be going with the herd and captaining him like everybody else will. I did it last week. I knew for a fact, well, I didn't know for a fact, but I was the same as you, Julian. I was pretty sure he wasn't going to be starting. I saw videos of him on Sky Sports of him sort of limping around and not looking particularly great. And this was like two or three days before the game. So I knew pretty sure he wasn't going to start, but I still started him because everybody else pretty much started him. And I knew that if he didn't play or wasn't involved, my vice-captain would step in anyway. I had decent players on the bench, so it wasn't a big deal for me.
Ben, are you quite grateful in a way? And this isn't me making a horrible joke because Watford had some heavy defeats against Man City, but to not have to play against Haaland, are you glad he came to the Premier League the season you left?
Oh my God. Playing against Man City full stop without Haaland in previous years was the worst game of my life every single season. Away at Man City, right? I remember being away at Man City for Watford and we were 5-0 down after 18 minutes, yeah? 5-0 down.
I remember that game, yeah.
I remember trying to talk to my defenders and trying to talk sense to them and just say, calm down, but they would look at me like a zombie and it's like everything had just gone. Their capabilities to actually process anything had gone. And I was thinking, oh no, this is going to be 15-0. Honestly, I was thinking, well, 18 minutes gone. I was doing the maths in my head. 18 minutes, 5, 36, 10. And then I was going like that. That's how it was going. So with the addition of Haaland as well, they're going to do it soon. They'll do another 8 or 9-0 again soon. They will, just because that's how good they are. You just need a team who are struggling really badly at the bottom of the table, away to Man City. They'll get off to a good start and then the floodgates will open. They're a problem and they worry me. As a goalie, they worry me.
Ben, you didn't play in the FA Cup final, did you?
No, I didn't go. Me played.
No, I'm going to say that there because I just feel like everyone will go. And they lost 6-0 in the FA Cup.
Yeah. We used to lose every time. Every game was 5 or 6-0. I'm about 80-0 down in aggregate to Man City.
I remember being at that cup final as a Watford fan and just thinking, I knew that the record was 7-0 and I was just so desperate we didn't get to 7. So when it was 6, I was like, that's a relief.
Kelly,
honestly, could have been 10, it could have been 12.
Aurelio made really good saves, some massive saves, and it could have been easily 10 or 12-0. But we had a chance in the first half, remember?
Gerard Deulofeu.
It was Pereira. Pereira got put through one-on-one with Edison after about 5 or 10 minutes or something like that. And Edison made a save, big save. And I'm not saying we'd have gone on to win it or anything.
I think it would have been just 6-1, to be honest.
Yeah, it'd probably just been 6-1. But it would have hopefully, well, in our heads, it would have been a different game anyway. But we don't like to talk about the FA Cup final too much, Kelly.
Okay, so let's talk about some other forwards then. We've all said that this week, I think we're going to have to start Haaland and probably captain him. Jules, you've got Callum Wilson. He was my transfer in on Saturday night. Ben, are you likely to make that move to get him in? Because it does feel like he's becoming another one of those players that's not essential, but more and more managers are going to get him.
Yeah, I think Callum Wilson is... I've only got two Newcastle players in my team, so I have got a space for another player. Newcastle just seem like they will be that team all season where they will probably win two games out of every three or four. They will win two or three games out of every four. The only problem with Callum Wilson is he is susceptible to injuries, but I think whilst he's flying high and he's scoring goals, I think he's going to be the main guy that's going to be putting him in the back of the net for Newcastle. So, Gabby Jesus, I'm sorry, mate. You can't go five or six games and expect to retain a place in my team, you know. I don't allow luxury players like that, all right? So I need to get people who are clinical and I know what I'm going to get from them. So Callum Wilson, I think this week is going to be swapped in for Gabby Jesus.
Callum Wilson, if you're not still convinced by everything we've been telling you for more than a week, where Southampton, where I think he had maybe three goals and one assist in the last three games or something there, so doing really well against the Saints. And also still only owned by 10% of the managers. So in a way, still a bit of a differential, not as much as last week or the week before, but certainly still maybe help you climb up the rankings.
Obviously, Tony picked up his fifth yellow card last week. So that means he's going to be missing in game week 15. So far, over 500,000 managers have made the move from Tony to Wilson. So that is by far the most popular route to bringing in Wilson this week. And that makes a lot of sense. Ben, I'll be honest, like you, I've been looking at the Jesus position in my team thinking, could you be Callum Wilson? And I was actually secretly hoping that Jesus was going to get booked in game week 14 because that would have made life so easy because then he'd have been suspended in 15. I'd have been able to make that move. Whereas I kind of feel like going into game week 15, if I take out Jesus, I'm asking for trouble. Aren't I taking out Jesus ahead of the weekend?
Sam, are you a bit like me where it's kind of, this feels like your baby, right? Yeah. Like your team. Do you remember playing like Championship Manager back in the day? And you'd rest a player or you'd sell a player and you'd be like, oh God, it hurts. Like they had a special place in my heart for a while and we had a special bond. It's like we had a real bond and stuff. So that's how I feel with my team. So this will, it's not like a flippant decision, you know. I'm not just making this on a whim. Like to take Gabby Jesus out is a big deal for me. And I'm sorry for it, but business is business, all right? It's the way it has to be done.
It feels like a very bad divorce is about to happen. Like, that's how it feels.
It's going to get messy.
It feels like it's going to get messy and I'm going to sit here on this podcast next week and Jules is going to say to me, why did you take out Jesus? Exactly. And I'm going to be here going, oh my goodness, why have I? Because of course I can't take out Kane, can I?
I'll keep it sensible for the kids. I'll keep it calm. I'll take the emotion out of it and I'll do it nice because everybody's got to get on in this relationship as well. So I'll be the calm guy, all right?
Kelly has a similar relationship with Marcus Rashford, you know. So
but also I got rid of him because I was peer pressure for so long. And now, price rise this week, form of his life. I want him back. Exactly. But I kind of am like, we had a messy breakup. Can I go back there?
We told you should have kept him and you didn't listen.
Do you know what, Kelly? We've got a couple lads in our Cycling GK mini league group here in the office that have got Marcus Rashford. And we genuinely look down our nose at them. Honestly, we do.
That's what they did with me. That's what Jules and Sam did with me. I feel their pain.
We look down our nose at them and as if to say, you don't know what you're doing. Like, you're just getting lucky. But that's how we see it. And they keep getting the points. And I'm thinking, maybe they do know what they're doing then. Like, there might be a method to this madness.
Kelly, remember that Marcus Rashford was my differential of the season in pre-season. So I did back you at the beginning. It's just then that Man United started the season really badly. Now they're playing a lot better. Maybe it's time to bring back Marcus Rashford. See, it's on planes and all of that stuff. It's all kind of building up to the World Cup in a couple of weeks now. We've got to be looking at these players.
I think Man United players in general, honestly, because like they're keeping a lot of clean sheets. They are. I've had Martinez on my bench for probably the best part of the last 6 weeks, and he must have kept four or five clean sheets in those 6 weeks, and it's doing my head in. It's absolutely doing my head in.
I benched Dalot too last week, Ben, for his clean sheet and his three bonus points. It's like, come on now. The Man United defenders have really got to start kind of backing them and playing them more regularly.
Yeah, Jules, Dalot's someone that you've got, isn't he? You've been singing his praises for a long time.
Yeah, for a while. I think, with Trippier and Cancelo, the best fullback in the league right now, there's no doubt at all. What Ten Hag is doing with him, the way he's using his qualities on the ball, especially going forward. And I think there could still be more from him in terms of assists, for example, because he gets the bonus points because he's so involved in everything they do with the ball. But I think it could get even better if he starts assisting a bit more, maybe even scoring, not again, one or two. He plays a lot, I think, which is a bit of a worry because he's played quite a lot in the Europa League too. And Ten Hag has put strong teams out in the Europa League. But he will go to the World Cup and then we see again after that. But yeah, I've been very, very impressed with him and the progress that he's made so far.
The World Cup's been mentioned a few times, obviously with only two game weeks to go. It's also, I find it really hard watching games at the moment because I'm watching the England players and just thinking, please don't get injured. It's a really unique situation, isn't it, Ben? We saw it, Ben Chilwell going off in the Champions League on Wednesday night for Chelsea. But players are playing now, aren't they, for their World Cup positions? But also, is it going to be in the back of their minds about injuries? It's a really weird psyche, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah, it is a really weird psyche. And I'd like to think they're not thinking about injuries. I'd like to think they are just going about their business. I think people probably build this up a little bit more, but I know once you get on the pitch, you just can't do what comes naturally. So if you're that kind of player that's going to sort of dip your toe in and sort of really like that extra inch or something, I think they're still going to do it. If you start to worry about injuries, that's when you're going to get injured. That's when you start to sort of hold back out of stuff. And that's the time that you genuinely will get injured. I do worry for sort of after the World Cup, though. I worry for the availability of players. So depending on how far teams get in tournaments, there's a possibility that certain players won't be available for the first game week back on, I think, is Boxing Day, isn't it? And it's kind of all those sort of things people talked about anyway, burnout and fatigue and mental fatigue, all that kind of stuff. It's the after bit that is the big worry for me.
From an FPL point of view as well, are you targeting players like we talked about Marcus Rashford there? He's playing for his place in Gareth Southgate's squad. Do you think we should be looking at players that have got a lot to prove? Your Callum Wilsons, your Marcus Rashfords. I would have said Ivan Toney, but obviously he's suspended this game week now, so we're not obviously going to bring him in.
No, I don't. Honestly, I think once you get on the pitch, if you're one of the players that are selected to start in that 11, I think once you get on the pitch, you're not thinking, oh, I need to score because Gareth Southgate might have seen this and he might think this. Or if you're a Portuguese player, the Portuguese manager might be watching. I genuinely just think that with form, it's kind of a confidence thing. And if you're confident and you're playing well, that just comes naturally and you just do it autopilot. I don't think there's going to be many players going into match weeks thinking, I've got to impress to win my World Cup spot and I don't want to get injured. I honestly think they just get on the pitch and they just do their business.
Okay, maybe that's given me another reason not to bring in Marcus Rashford, because I was persuading myself this week that maybe it's time to bring him back because he wants to show Gareth Southgate. He wants to go.
If you do,
to
you don't know what you're doing, all right? I'll look down my nose at you. You don't know what you're doing.
I think there's multiple things, Ben, that have shown I probably don't know what I'm doing. Marcus Rashford transfer is not one of those that need to back it up. Let's look at a couple of the fixtures this week in detail, because when I took a look at the fixture list, I was like, oh, there's a couple of tasty games there for the neutral. But as FPL managers, some pretty tricky ones from our point of view. Chelsea, Arsenal. Sam, you've already talked about potentially selling Gabriel Jesus this weekend. But as we saw last weekend, Chelsea do concede goals. Do you play all of your Arsenal players in this one?
Yeah, I mean, I've got three. As I said earlier, I've got Saka, I've got Martinelli, I've got Jesus. So I've got three. I'm all, as a Spurs fan, what a nightmare to be all invested in the Arsenal attack in the way that I am. And I found myself last week getting pleased that Arsenal were scoring goals against Nottingham Forest. And I was thinking, what has my life become? Like, what this, like Ben said, it's the baby though, isn't it? And you really want your FPL team to do well. For me, I will be playing my three Arsenal players. I think the flags disappeared off Saka as well this morning. So that's making me feel a lot happier about those decisions. Although, again, that Saka position was the one I was thinking, oh, maybe he could be Almiron if he's going to be out for the next few weeks. But yeah, I'm going to play all three because Chelsea defensively have looked better with Kepa in goal. We've got Mendy back. They didn't keep clean sheet in the Champions League. I don't really trust Chelsea at the moment. You know, Ben Chilwell was, as you mentioned, Kelly, picked up an injury in the Champions League as well. So what kind of Chelsea defence are we getting? They've got some issues there in terms of their players now with Chilwell, Reece James, Fofana, Kepa. That's a lot of defensive woes at Chelsea. And I think Arsenal will look to exploit that and they'll want to maintain their position in the way that they're going in the league right now.
Sam, can I ask a question? So I love it how you refer to the flag disappearing off layers. Is that how you say it? It's class. I love it.
I also celebrated that as she said it, notice. I did a celebration.
Really, yeah, I like it. I didn't know that's what it was called. The flag has disappeared. I love that. But how do you feel about having two Arsenal midfielders in your starting lineup? Like, is that, I've never done that. Honestly, in my whole career, I've never done two players from the same team in like a midfield.
I agree.
So Jules has this thing about he won't have two from a starting 11. But for me, I always look at it and think, I want the best attackers. And if the best attackers mean that I have two Arsenal midfielders because they're the best picks. Now, I think for me, I would have probably sold Martinelli a few weeks ago on my wild card had it not been for the fact that he's such exceptional value and he makes the rest of the team so much easier to build. And at that point, at his price point, he was probably the best one. But, you know, in seasons gone by, I've had a couple of Man City midfielders. There were times last season where I had Son and Kulusevski at Spurs because they were both performing really well. So for me, it's all about form and about who the best players are. And if that means I have two from one team, then I'll do it. I don't like doing it for long periods of time though, because it only takes one bad result. And then of course you've got two players that you've kind of lost. Yeah. So I think with Arsenal, I've done it because they've looked really solid, but there is always the potential that one of them moves and becomes somebody else. Because, you know, with Jesus as well, I've got three of them right now.
The reason why I haven't put Saka in this team is in this season really, is because I feel so hard done by that. Last season he was what, £5 million or something. Yeah. He has a good season, yeah, and then FPL they just go and ruin it and like put his price up, and it's like it's almost like we were there before you. All right, we knew about this player before you, and then you're jumping on the bandwagon and you're killing it for everybody else. It's like I say, it's like playing Championship Manager where you find that like hidden gem, that little like unsung hero, like at 17 at some Swedish team or something. You're the guy who found him, you unearthed him. And that's what I feel they've done with Saka. So that's why I'm doing it out of principle now. I'm just not picking him in my team.
I know what you mean. I normally don't have two. Ben, just to clarify Jules's rule is actually to only have one player. Jules, explain what it is. Is it one player from each team in the top six?
Yeah. Now, at the start of the season, when I build the squad and for the start of the season, I tend to not double up from top six attacking players. Yeah. So I would not have Martinelli and Saka in the lineup, or Salah and Darwin, or Salah and Diaz, or Foden, or De Bruyne and Haaland, for example.
No, in the same position, you mean? So midfield sort of thing. So yeah, you've got Man City players in your team, yeah?
No. I would have a defender from City, for example, and an attacker from City. No, he's just in attacking.
Except you won't have Cancelo, will you, Jules?
No, because he wears the number 7, which is an insult to football and to
them. What?
Like, Julian, for the people who can't see, Ben has amazing shot that I believe you must have swapped through your career with players that you play against behind you. So, you know, Giroud and Kuhn and, you know, Salah and all of that. You can't have a number 7 with Cancelo behind you. This is not possible. You know. And the other day, by the way, I forgot to say that. In the Liverpool City game, James Milner played right back for Liverpool with the number 7. Cancelo played left. I could not watch. And my head was going like, number 7 are fullbacks against each other. It was just like, this is wrong.
Bonkers.
No, I've always misunderstood that, Jules, because I actually thought you'd only have one player from the top six. I always thought that was a bit bold. No, that now does... Yeah, no, that does make sense. Okay, so we've covered off Arsenal from the Chelsea-Arsenal point of view. Any interest in Chelsea at all, Jules, or are we just leaving them for now while they still suss themselves out under Graham Potter?
Yeah, I think they still have a lot of sorting out to do, but at least I'm glad to see Raheem Sterling playing in his favourite position in the Champions League. And guess what? He's much better. And guess what? He even scores. So please, not again the left wing back position for Raheem Sterling.
He's saving himself for England. He's always so good for England. He's still going to be the star of this World Cup for England, from my point of view anyway. Okay, another game that's pretty fascinating. Spurs versus Liverpool. Spurs have come from behind twice in their last two matches in all competitions. Liverpool won in the Champions League, but they've had a tough time in the Premier League, Ben. This is an interesting one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's. I don't really know what to do with kind of Liverpool and Tottenham players. I think Harry Kane is always a mainstay. I'll always have him in there because I know that if Tottenham are going to score, it's likely it's going to be Harry Kane.
Not last week.
No, exactly. Yeah, last week. To be fair, I haven't captained Harry Kane once this season. Not once, because I'm just so not sure of what they're going to do. But yeah, even Liverpool players, I've stayed away from Liverpool quite a lot this season. Like in seasons gone past, like Salah is a guaranteed. Trent or Robinson's a guarantee. Alisson's the only one I've really stuck with all season long. So there again, they're two teams where I'm not fully sure. Heung-min Song, I haven't bothered putting him in the team this season. I know he's just had an operation, hasn't he, on a fractured cheekbone or something. So he's going to be out for a long while. I'm just not convinced of him. They're a little bit like a Chelsea for me as well, where I don't really want to put any Chelsea players in. Maybe Koulibaly. I know I've got Pulisic in my team at the minute, but that was an impulse buy after he scored a few weeks ago. But yeah, I'm just not convinced by putting many Liverpool or Tottenham players in. I've got Harry Kane and he'll always start for me, but definitely not going to be a captain.
Yeah, I imagine people, Sam, won't be bringing in players for this game in particular. But if you do own Salah or Kane, what do you do? Do you just start them? Are they worth a hold in this fixture?
Yeah, they're worth a hold, I think. You know, the Spurs-Liverpool games are always really difficult to kind of call what's going to happen. They're always quite high scoring as well. And Salah and Kane do always seem to like to score against each other. So I think if you've got either of them, you play them. I don't think you want to captain either of them. So let's all hope that Haaland is fit and available and can be captained this week. I find this one difficult because Liverpool aren't in good form, but Spurs are starting games really badly. And if you start a game really badly against a team like Liverpool, you give them the potential to be a couple of goals up on you by half time. And if Spurs give Liverpool a 2-goal head start, they're going to find it really difficult to come back into that game. I mean, they did it against Bournemouth, but that's very different to coming back against a Liverpool side that can just dig in and defend solidly when they want to. And yeah, it's a difficult one to call. I'll be playing Harry Kane. I'm quite glad I don't have anyone else from either of these two sides that I'm invested in right now because it gives me one less headache this week.
And with you, Sam, I can't see it being a clean sheet anyway. I think this is one for the strikers or big midfielders, if anything, but definitely not Trent. Or maybe Trent on assists and getting the ball into the box, but no, Alisson worries me for a clean sheet this week.
Jules, what about Son? Obviously, Ben alluded to it there. Only 9% of managers own him. He's had a bit of a difficult start in the Premier League this year. But if managers are getting rid of him, any replacements you'd suggest?
Well, it's a sad one to start with. Let's hope we still make the World Cup. But that clash of head with Chancel Mbemba in the Marseille game was really hard to watch. And you saw after how groggy he was and everything. I think, if you have him, there's no point. He's not going to play again before the World Cup. So you can wait, put him on your bench if you want. There's Darwin Nunez that we need to talk about just briefly because he 25 minutes cameo against Napoli in the Champions League when he came on was really, really good. It was really good. And he scored, obviously, his header was saved. That led to the Salah goal. He played wide and then he played more centrally. I think he's got 5 goals in his like 8 games now, but only in 400 minutes. So the ratio of minutes played, goals scored in all competition recently is pretty impressive. And I don't know, there's something about him that is special, is going to be special. So maybe not for this game because this is going to be tough, although I fancy Liverpool to do something, I suppose. But he's definitely one to keep an eye on. And I think at some point, still being a differential could be interesting.
Yeah, it could be interesting as well if you've got Ivan Toney, who we alluded to before, obviously being suspended this week. Managers want to get rid of him. Potentially, would you say that Nunez is one to bring in for him? Although you did just say maybe not for this game week.
No. But I think definitely, I think he's in good form. I think he will start. That's why he didn't start against Napoli. He will start, I suppose, on Sunday. And I think he's going to be a handful, the physicality. And I think he's just finding his feet. And the more he will play, the better he will become. Mm-hmm. His understanding with the rest of the team will get better. But he's getting there and quickly.
Okay, well, this has become a mammoth podcast because we had so much to talk about with Ben. But as always, let's end it with transfers and captains. Ben, Haaland captain for you, and you're going to bring in Callum Wilson. Are they your moves for this week?
That's exactly what I'm doing this week. I've still got 2 free transfers in the bank, but I'm only going to use one. Callum Wilson's coming in for Gabby Jesus. I think I've got 2.7 million in the bank. Ooh. Oh my gosh, I'm rich. I've never normally got money in the bank. Honestly, I am always down to the bare bones. I will literally always use all my money. So yeah, it feels like I'm flush at the minute, but I'm going to have even more money because I'm going to get Gabby Jesus out, put Callum Wilson in, and for sure, Haaland captain.
Who are you going to vice-captain in case he doesn't start?
Oh, God. This is. I think Callum Wilson, Newcastle away at Southampton, I think it is, isn't it? I think Callum Wilson, vice-captain. Haaland captain for sure.
That's exactly the same as what I'm doing. What about you, Sam?
Well, I'm torn. So I'm going to wait for the Arsenal game tonight because obviously, you know, there's things that can happen in European football and you need to be aware of that. Saka was my potential out this week, but now that the flag's disappeared, I think I'll probably stick with him for that Chelsea game. I have lost my temper with Wilfred Zaha. I bought him in a few weeks ago and knew at the time that there was a good chance that Wilfred Zaha would never return for me because this just seems to be the way. And I really like Almiron. So I think I want to go Zaha to Almiron as one of my free transfers this week. That also means that everyone else, you should keep Zaha because he'll get a hat-trick this week because that's always what happens every time I sell him. But I think that's probably the move I'm going to make, Zaha to Almiron.
You know, on Zaha, I'm going to start a petition for second assist to get points in the game.
You've tried this position on here before and it hasn't worked.
No, but I'm going to try again because his ball to Tyrick Mitchell that then crossed the ball for the Hudson Edouard tapping is by far the most difficult pass in the three moves in there. And you get nothing for it. When Mitchell gets points for the assist, that is a simple ball that, you know, even Kelly could have squared. And then Hudson Edouard for the tap-in. So I'm going to start a petition for second assist to get points two in the game. I think that's fair.
Okay, well, I'm hearing back from FPL HQ that they've said, shut up, Jules, okay. Not a chance. What about your transfers and your captaincy?
So I've made it already. Thank you very much. Estupinan from Brighton coming in as a differential. Like, he's only owned by not many people. But I really liked what he did against Chelsea. He started well this season. I think he returned game week 4, game week 5. Then after that, I think first Potter, but then De Zerbi was still looking for a back three, a back four, the best options. And I think now he's got his place in that sort of left back, left wing back position, if you want. And he's just so good going forward. Him and players above him just get on well. And I think him, Caicedo, Trossard, all of that. And I think that team now, after the win against Chelsea, are going to get point, play much better. So I think Estupinan could be good.
Ben, did you ever come across him at Watford? I know he was at Watford for 4 years. He didn't make an appearance, but did you come across Estupinan?
Yeah, we came across him every pre-season for 4 years, Kelly. He would train for about 2 weeks and then he would go back out on loan to some Spanish team and apparently rip it up like you wouldn't believe and then come back and then he would go back out on loan again and eventually got sold for like 20 million or something. Like, it's a typical Watford move. Like, that's how they operate.
Did he look good though, is what I was going to say.
Lovely. In the last pre-season before he got fully sold off, he actually looked like a proper player, but I think even he knew he was going to get sold. So like, he didn't really try and integrate or say hello to anybody because he was thinking, there's no point, I'm going in 2 weeks.
Okay, not quite the insight I was hoping for. I was hoping you were going to tell me he scored loads of goals and he's going to score loads of goals with Jules' team. But yeah, he has, that's an interesting transfer. That's a typical Julien Laurent transfer, trying to get ahead of the curve, isn't it, Jules?
Exactly. Yeah, away at Wolves, I think there's a fair point there for them not conceding, Brighton not conceding, and then him going forward to bring something to this Brighton side.
Guys, sorry, before we go, who is your unsung like hero of the season so far? Oh. The player that's been your kind of, I'm proud of that one.
I need to look at my team because I'm not in the best place with my team at the moment. I'm going to say Marcus Rashford because, Ben, 1 week I was on the train going up to Manchester on Saturday morning and I tried to make a transfer to transfer him out.
Oh, I remember
it. It didn't work. The train signal went and he got double digits that week. And it was like his best game week of the season. And that was in the height of everyone saying to me, get rid of him, Kelly. Why have you got him? You don't know what you're doing. Why is he every week? United are rubbish. And I was like, no, he's going to come good. And so I kind of feel like he repaid the faith, even though it wasn't real faith because I did try.
Yeah, it wasn't faith. That's what I mean. You got lucky, basically.
Yeah. But isn't it? I always say it's better to be a lucky FPL manager than a good one half the time.
True that.
Marcus Rashford, that feels a bit backhanded to say that, really. No one else has done that well for me, to be honest. Sam, look at Sam and Jules. They're both looking at their teams. They're struggling with this.
Diogo Dalot probably for me because, you know, I brought him in when he was still on low ownership and he's done really well and so I'll probably go for him.
I think in the early part of the season for me, it was probably Luis Diaz at Liverpool. Like when Salah wasn't playing particularly well and I had Luis Diaz, that worked quite well. So, but yeah, again, it's been a tough season, I think, so far this year. There's been a number of players that I've kind of expected to do well that then just haven't necessarily hit the heights that I was thinking that they would. Had a few good weeks out of Anderson at Crystal Palace as well, with some clean sheets in the bag for him. So he's been quite good at just quietly ticking over the defensive points.
I've just gone back through my team and I'm going to say Luis Diaz as well. I feel like saying about Marcus Rashford feels a bit below the belt from me because I didn't really have faith, did I? Ben, what about you? Who's been your unsung hero?
It'll be one of the two Newcastle players, maybe Almiron or Trippier. I've had Trippier since day one and it's like week after week, he just keeps delivering. Almiron, I know I only put him in sort of like four, 5, 6 weeks ago, but he's a guaranteed starter every week. And also a big shout out to William Saliba for Arsenal as well, because he's not only chipped in with clean sheet points, but goals as well.
Go on, Jules.
Saliba! Why, bro? And my boy as well, you know.
I think that's the perfect place to end this podcast because I don't want any more singing. Ben, it's been a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much. Where can people watch your content if they do want to hear more from you?
Get yourself over to the Cycling GK to watch any kind of like football chit chat. And then if you want some more football chit chat, go to the Fozcast podcast.
Well, we'll be heading there because it's been brilliant to have you on. You get some really good guests on there as well. So do check that out. Sam, Jules, what are you doing this weekend? Sam, you're at Spurs, did you say? Are you both at Spurs?
Yeah.
Is this
not together.
Something that's happening and I've just not been invited?
Yeah, we've left you out, Kelly. Yeah, no, I'm off to Spurs, not with Julianne. I'm off with my mum this weekend. So hopefully watch the mighty Spurs beat my husband's Liverpool team, because I really did not want to watch that with Lee. God,
yes. FPL family derby. Jules, two games for you this weekend or just the one?
No, just the one on Sunday.
Part-timer.
Spurs, Liverpool, yeah. But I'll try to find you, Sam, and your mum and wave at you from the...
I'll be in the south, in the middle of the south.
I'll keep an eye.
Well, enjoy it, guys, and enjoy all of the FPL action this weekend. Your deadline is 1:30 p.m. on Saturday. Ben, set that alarm, 12:30, 1 p.m. You don't want to miss it. Slightly later, he's tapping at his watch. He knows it. In the meantime, head over to fantasy.premierleague.com. Off the Bench, we'll be back next week, of course, as will we on Thursday. See you then. Bye-bye.